Anyways, yeah, I did notice we have new speakers up here. And I don't often solicit money. And I'm not really going to debate them, but Aiden, I guess his whole system broke down. And what I understand is he just plopped down $3,800 to buy that because there was a need. And so if any of you feel led to help him out, he's not here today. I think he's on his way back from Michigan. So if any of you feel led to help him with a little bit of that, please do. I think he used his own money. He didn't come beg the church for it. He just saw a need and he bought it. And I think he put like $3,800 in. And thank you for James and I think Caleb and Aiden that hooked it up this week. We're very thankful for that. Old stuff wears out, and I guess the system we had wasn't that great when it was new. So we're very thankful to all of you that helped with that. Anyways, I do think that, you know, it helps when the preaching of the word matches up with what y'all are trying to teach in your home. I do think that we agree on that. But I also think that we can teach our children that, you know, somebody might get up and preach, and you might have a little bit of a different view of that, and maybe even your father does, but we can still love each other. But it's easier if we agree. But I also think that if there's something wrong, if you can't ever hear something that's not quite the way I see it and not get upset about it. And Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, I'm not saying that we should just be okay with false teachings. Don't get me wrong. But there are different applications to different scriptures that people do have different applications to. And so that's why I think sometimes we need to be a little bit careful how we strongly we thunder application. As long as we agree on the principles. So anyway, it would be interesting to me, and I wish y'all would give more input of what you think is needed to be heard in the congregation and taught on. I think that's good, especially in the church in the broad spectrum across America. I know we need a balanced diet, but what is the biggest need that we have in the country as a church? I know that, you know, if we just preach position in Christ and standing in Christ, I think it's important, if you want to be in victory, it's important to know who you are and where your position is in Christ. I think that's one of the key elements. But what about the other things? You can't just teach one diet. You know, if all you want to do is eat fruits and vegetables, you're going to look a little bit sickly at times. You know, you need a little bit of protein mixed in there. And it's the same way in spiritual things. You can't just preach one subject and think that's it. You know, this is my strong point. And I know that for me, I have a real burden and a passion. I'm not deep into theology. I'm not a Bible scholar, so to speak. But I love to share and encourage people to believe who they are and to believe that they can have be in victory. I think that's part of my calling as an evangelist. Is to exhort people to believe that there's something better than just drifting along aimlessly, right? And so that's my heart, is to expose the problems that people face so they can walk in victory in Jesus and according to God's plan for their life. And I can say that sometimes, it can be frustrating because there's often that we share things with people and they don't listen. They will absolutely go right on down the path to destruction. And can we allow that to discourage us from continuing to share the truth? We know the answer to that. We cannot. And so we don't want to give up, and we don't want to have a critical spirit, because we know there's no life in a critical spirit. There's no life given in that. Critical spirit is not exhorting one another to live by faith, but when all we have is criticism, could be there's a deeper problem there. But it could be frustrating if we allow it to be and we say, well, I speak the truth and nobody listens. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. But sometimes that does happen. But in James 1:22, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any of you hear of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So I think that it's important that we not only hear the word, but that we are also doers of the word. And not just be like that guy that looks in the mirror and says, oh yeah, I heard that, it was a good word, but nothing changes in our life. I think that's important that we don't just hear, but we do. So today, I would call it this, Exposing Agreements with Hell. Now, I want to tell you that I have a scriptural verse or two to back this up that people do this, and it's in Isaiah. I'm going to read quite a few verses here, actually, Isaiah 28. And I'm, again, not exactly sure who he was writing to when he wrote this. Was it Ephraim? I'm not sure. The leaders of Judah, when Isaiah wrote this, who he was warning. But he called them out in this chapter. And so I'm going to just say that. I'm going to, you know, what are you grinning about? Who was he writing to? Israel. Yeah, okay, see, that's why we're a family of God, right? So anyways, it's good that we have, there's biblical precedent for what I want to speak about. And I'm going to start, and just for sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I'm going to start in verse 7. We're going to jump in there and read quite a few verses. It says, "But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up with wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips in another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing source shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, speaking of Jesus here, he that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing sword shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you from morning by morning, shall it pass over by day and night, and it shall be a vexation only to the understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Gerizim, and he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his strange act. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I heard from the Lord, the God of hosts, and consumption, determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear, hear my voice, hearken, and hear my speech." So he was talking about here, like he was saying, that there are people that make agreements with hell, right? That's what he said. He said, you made an agreement with hell, and he said that those agreements in verse 17, hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hiding place. I think we live in a day-to-day where people go for refuge to lies. They justify their life and their actions and their beliefs with lies. It's the only thing you can conclude. Ridiculous stuff. Like, I mean, some of this stuff we know, you know, like this crazy transgender problem that's sweeping the nation. Like, they have made lies their refuge. They're believing a lie. They're saying, God created me this, but I think I should be that. And that's just one example. And he says that your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. And beloved, That's where we, as a lot of believers, we can come to a place where we make agreements unknowingly sometimes with hell. We make agreements with the enemy. We believe the lies that he tells us, and we're going to cover a few of those things today. Because I believe that it's very important. I believe that sometimes subconsciously, we can start making agreements with that dark world, that spiritual battles happen. We start making agreements with things that unknowingly we've made agreements with them. So we're going to look at a little bit of that and maybe expose some of those things with the help of the Lord. We don't want to live our life with agreements with hell. So, first of all, I would like to say this. You have to know that you're loved. You have to know that you're loved. You have to know that you've repented, that you've brought your sins under the blood of Jesus. You have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You have to know that that has happened. Maybe you're here today and you don't feel precious. You don't feel loved. You don't even know if you're saved. You know, let's look at some of those lies. You know what God knew you before you were ever born? I think it's amazing. And when your family, our hearts and thoughts and prayers went out to you this week with the loss of your beautiful little grandchild. That's a beautiful child, and it's real. And the pain is real. But you know what? God knew, I can't pronounce her name, but God knew her in the womb. God knew that child. God took that child home. To me, that's so precious. Not precious that you lost it and didn't get to enjoy this child, but the fact that God knew that child in the womb. God had a name for that child. God said, "That is my child in the womb." Isn't that beautiful? I just, in Psalm 139, verse 13 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." When I looked up that covered me, it talked about that and used the Greek word sakax, S-A-K-A-K. I can't even hardly pronounce that stuff. But it said entwined as a screen. Now you look at a screen, that's pretty incredible how what a screen does and the fine mesh that's there. But anyway, God knew that child in her mother's womb. And not just, it was covered. It's beautiful. Like God had that child wrapped up. God knew that child, and God took that child home, and it said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." So God knew every one of us before we were ever born, when we were in the womb. God put his finger, he dedicated part of the living word of God to you, and he mentioned you in that. So we know that it's not just a blob of tissue. We know that this is a real human with a real soul. And that's how precious every one of you is. God, that's where it starts. It's in the womb. God already had you covered. He already knew you, and he claimed you as his creation. Wow. So we had never doubt that we are a creation of the Most High God, and God created us for a divine purpose. We cannot doubt that. And yet, you know, so many people get mightily discouraged, and they doubt their purpose, and they start doubting their worth, and they start doubting all these kind of things, and they start making an agreement with Satan. And then sometimes people in their sphere of influence kind of goes along with that. They reject you, and they say bad things about us, and so we start looking, well, maybe that's the truth. You know, maybe that is just who I am. Maybe I don't have it. We start making an agreement with hell. We don't want to do that, you know? So, because God has a plan for us, he knew you in the womb, he knows you now. He knows your struggle, he knows everything about you. So we can make agreements with Satan. When we do that, it gives him power. Power he really does not have. He has no authority over you if you are a child of the living God. But when we make agreements, we give power back to that old liar that he does not deserve. He has no right to that. So when we're not yet reconciled to God, we're vulnerable and we can be harassed by Satan. Now, I do believe that. I have this belief that I believe that God's grace was partially over me before I was saved. Otherwise, I'd be dead. I didn't experience the fullness of it, and I didn't understand his love, but otherwise I would have gotten in a whole lot more trouble than I did. I was not a good person, and I did not have a bend towards righteous holy things. So I do believe that in that way, but yeah, Satan had plenty of power over me and led me down a lot of wrong roads, but in all that, you know, Jesus loves me, and God loved me before I loved him. So we need Jesus, and Jesus has thoroughly and soundly defeated your enemy. Thoroughly and soundly defeated. We could read about that in Hebrews 2:14. I'm not going to turn there, but it says the power of death is destroyed. Well, I do want to share this verse in James 4:7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So it's not that you need this humongous power over the devil. It's simply, come to the Lord. Come to Jesus. Be hidden under the shadow of his wing. Be there. Rest there. And the devil has to flee. He has no power over you. Why would the devil flee? Because he knows that Jesus has completely and thoroughly and totally defeated him at Calvary. And the grave is empty, and the devil knows that. And when you have committed your life to him, he knows he has no power over you. When we use truth and fact of the Word of God, Satan has to flee. Jesus did this in Matthew 4 when the devil was up there tempting him. Come on, make these, if you're really who you are, make these stones into bread. You know, just tempting him. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm convinced the devil hates the Word of God. And you can use the Word of God to resist the devil. He's got to flee. You see, our weapons against this devil, they're not in the firearms we own. And us, you know, crazy Montanians, I probably shouldn't say this, but we own a lot of guns. But we know that those are not our power against the devil. They just aren't. They're powerless. We're not fighting that kind of battle. We don't have hand grenades and bombs and things and, you know, I don't sleep with a loaded gun at my nightstand because I have to protect myself. My protection is in the Lord my God. And that's the battle that we face here. And we can read that in 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What is it in our life today that the devil wants to exalt? You know, he loves it. He doesn't exalt Jesus. But he says, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. What is it in my life and your life that we allow the enemy to exalt, to make it a big deal? You know, he loves that. He loves to magnify the things in our lives that we're not perfect in, or that we struggle in. He likes to put that way up there and act like that's really a big deal in our life, and maybe it is. But you know what? That thing that he exalts, Jesus has already brought down. He's already taken to the cross. I should hear an amen on that. He's taken it to the cross. Already defeated. So, whatever Satan exalts and tries to put into your life and tries to control you, you can know Jesus has nailed it to the cross. And so what it is, you know, there's a lot of things that he tries to put and exalt to make them bigger than they really are. No, we're going to bring every captivity into the obedience of Christ. And I appreciate, you know, Miss Daughter sharing her testimony. You know what? Thought life, you can't let it run rampant. If you let that thing run rampant, it'll take you places that you don't want to go. And you don't want things that start bad, things like these crazy, mentally deranged shooters that run around the country. That started with thoughts. Probably when they first started allowing the devil to run their thought life, they probably never dreamed they would do something that maniacal and ridiculous. But they went down this path, they let their thoughts wander until they did something extremely bad. And so don't let your thought, and don't let the devil think, oh, I just can't have the victory. I can't control my thoughts. Yes, you can. God, Jesus Christ, can give you the power to have control over your thoughts. He's nailed that to the cross. Thought life, it's not a problem for the Lord, but we've got to be willing to bring that. Not make an agreement with the devil that says you have no control, because you do. So the devil exalts things against us. He does not exalt our Christ, obviously, but he gets us to believe things that are untrue and to make agreements with the devil, believing that we cannot have the victory in those. So what are your weapons? Do we resort to trying to drown out reality with friends or entertainment or more of this and more of that? Do we try to drown out reality in our world and just try to fill it with things that have not victory, or do we really take it to Jesus? Can we say that my weaponry is mighty through God? There are other lies that children of God believe in, and they make agreements with Satan. Relationships. Satan might say it is no use to try with so-and-so, or they're unlovable. Can we believe that? It's simply not true. Could be the person sitting next to you, your wife, your husband. You could believe a lie that says it's no use. It's simply an agreement with Satan when we believe that. Jesus has called us to dearly love all of our dear brothers and sisters, and he gives us solutions. We have to, first of all, let's communicate. I'm convinced that Satan hates communication. He absolutely hates it when we talk about our differences and our problems. He doesn't want us to talk about them. And he hates commitment because he's wishy-washy. He's a liar. He hates commitment. He hates communication. And so he wants us to just give up and make an agreement. Say, it's useless. It's pointless. My marriage can never be restored. There's no hope. There's no hope for this sister or that brother or this friend that was once my friend. There's just no hope. He wants us to make an agreement and believe that below. You say, well, what can I do? Try doing an act of kindness. 2 Peter 1:7 says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. If you struggle with somebody, let's just try the simple little thing of being kind. We teach our children that, don't we? We say, oh, you wouldn't believe what so-and-so did to me or what they said. Well, I tell you what, I would tell my children, you know what you need to do is go do something kind to them. You don't need to sit there and whine and moan and complain about that. You need to return that act that you deem to be thoughtless and unkind with something that's kind. That's how we bring down the devil and his lies, right? So, again, this is a lot easier for me to preach than do, but I know it's true. I am convinced, you know, Satan, he hates when we communicate. Make a commitment. Communicate and make commitments. You know what? If you have a struggle with somebody in a broken relationship, there is not a thing wrong for you to go to them and say, you know what? I know we're struggling in our relationship, but I want you to know something. I am all in on committing to this relationship being what God's heart is. There's nothing wrong with that. It is absolutely in the face of the enemy to do that. And I'm telling you, I am encouraged in some of the relationships, like, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but like there's been struggles in relationships that I've had going through church life here. I've been here for a long time. I'm an old man now, but there's been struggles with relationships. But you know what? If you are faithful, God brings those together. I can honestly say there's people that at one time intimidated and scared me that I now consider as friends. And that's God. That is God. That is, and that's God's heart. And I have more. That there's more to do, but I'm saying God is able to bring those relationships that are hard. If you are going to say, enemy, I am not making agreement with you no more. I will not believe that about my brother. I am committed to this being a lasting, godly relationship. And a friend of mine, he cannot stop it. He cannot stop it. He said, well, it has to be both sides. That sure helps, but I'll tell you what. You knowing what the power of Jesus Christ is a pretty powerful thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. And it breaks down strongholds and it breaks down walls. Oh, you know what? The subject of addiction. Those of us that, which I've not been doing a lot of jail ministry, I'd like to be doing more. I find life is pressing in. But those of us that do go, we find that, you know, so much of the people that we encounter in jail ministry are there because of addictions. And it's hard. Just about all of them. I don't know. What do you think, Josh? 90% it's related to alcohol or drugs, at least, he says. And these are addictions. and these, so there's differences. There's addictions that we deal with in the church that are not necessarily illegal by the law of the land. They are in the law of God. But many church people sit addicted in the pews every Sunday, and many prisoners sit in prisons and in jails, and because of addictions. And you know what? The devil will lie to them. I tell these guys, all of these guys, pretty much every single one that I get to minister to, when you get out of that place, you've got to radically change your life. You cannot hang out with the same people that got you where you are today. If you do, you're going to come right back in here. I say, you know, there might be a time when you can take as a recovered addict and you can go minister that world, but for now, you need to work on the relationship this way. And so you have to have a complete new set of friends. But you know, the devil will lie to people, and he will tell you that your addiction is always going to be there. And people believe that stuff because it's so hard. They've fallen. They went back into the same thing over and over and over. And I can relate. I've been an addict. I have been an addict of substances and things that are just not cool at all. And I've been there. And I remember the Romans 7 experience when I hated the things that I did, but I didn't have the power over them because I didn't have the power of the resurrected Christ in my heart. I was doing religious things, and I wanted it, but I lacked victory because I didn't have the power of the resurrection. So we can come to a place where we're going to believe God for those addictions, or we're going to make an agreement with hell that says it's always going to be a part of your life. You know what? Satan says, you are hopeless. You can never be free. You can sing the song. You know, I can sing it to him. It's too beautiful a song for the devil. But you can sing to him, come ye sinners, lost and lost. Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. You can sing that. He knows that he's defeated, and it's a fact. It is a fact. He saved the worst among us when he saved a wretch like me. And so we don't have to listen to his accusations. We don't have to believe that garbage. You don't have to have an agreement with hell that says that always got to be a part of your life. But so many times, so many people, they believe those lies and they continue down that road. And then, when you do fall, if you do, I hope you don't, but if you do, he'll come and say, well, where is your God? Maybe you're not even saved. Perhaps you're not saved. And if you don't have assurance of salvation, that can really shake you, and it can hurt, and it can be very harmful. And so, if you don't have assurance today, I would just say this, get assurance. You don't have to wander through the rest of your life not knowing whether you're saved or not. Get help, counsel. I have a huge admiration for people who are humble enough to seek help and to ask brothers and sisters, you know, hey, I've got this problem. I really need deliverance. Can you help me? Can you pray for me? I have huge admiration for that. I think you know how at Bible school, when Jody, many of you got to know her, she came over here and she was a professing Christian. She had been baptized and she professed to know the Lord, and some of the sisters pressed in and found out that she was an absolutely miserable person inside. Now, what had to happen before, you know, she could be free? She had to admit that there were problems. She had to be brutally honest. And I'd like to tell you that that child today is still on fire for God. Why? Because she lacked assurance and she found it. I just use that as an example. If you're here today and you're like, no, I'm not sure. Maybe I was saved. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. You know what? The devil's going to use that all day long. And if you just say, well, I just really don't know, and you're going to say, this is just my lot in life, I can't know. You're just, again, you're making an agreement with the devil. You can know that you know that you know that you know that you're going to go to heaven and that you have a relationship with him today. You can know that. And you do not have to lack assurance. If you lack it, just talk to somebody, pray through it. Write a state, remember the date, write it on the wall if you have to. This day, I have brought my sins under the blood, I'm done waffling, I'm done with the lack of assurance, I'm done not knowing, and whatever happened back there, praise me, the Lord. It was a step in my life, but today I'm finished. I am done waffling. I'm done not knowing. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day that He set me free, and I'm done with this lack of assurance. You know, the day of is, you know, it's, I don't, you don't have to know the day, but you have to know that it actually happened. You have to know that you know. And then you have to be baptized after you know you became a Christian. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, repent and be baptized. I cannot change that. If you've never been baptized, after you have become a believer, you need to be. And it says, when your commitment is sure, and you've had a believer's baptism, and Satan lies and accuses, and he's still probably trying to bring that up. He'll still probably try to say, but how do you know? Maybe you didn't cry enough. You're not saved by your crying. You're saved by the blood of Jesus. And well, maybe I didn't repent sincerely enough. You know what? You're saved by the blood of Jesus. Sing victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. He sought me. He bought me through His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him. And all my love is due Him. Satan, you're defeated. I have victory in Jesus. You have no right to accuse me. Yes, I fell in, but it doesn't make me a loser because I am not making an agreement with you. I am not a loser. I am not defeated. I am a child of the living God. And here I stand. Here I stand. I have victory in Jesus. Lies and agreement. Satan, get behind me. You do not make agreements with that old devil. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God and He'll flee from you. Those imaginations, those things that exalt themselves to ruin your relationship, to ruin your life, to ruin your family, your marriage, put them behind you. We ain't making agreements with those things. You are defeated in it. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Sing loudly victory in Jesus. Let the world know that you're washed in the blood and that you believe the living word of God, and every word that comes from the mouth of God is yours. It's for you. Oh, Lord, help us. Other agreements we make and say, well, nobody likes me. I get zero respect around this place. You ever been there? I've thought all of these things. I'll just be real honest with you. Sometimes I've fallen into self-pity. I feel sorry for myself. Let that garbage ruin my heart. It's ridiculous. Jesus has called us out of those things. He's called me to stop that. I don't need everybody to like me. It's nice. Like you said, Simon, it's nice when they do. But I don't need that to find my place and to be right with the Lord. Probably they're not all going to like you in today's world if you stand up for Jesus. Probably not. Probably they're not going to like you if you're blunt and you just say it how you see it. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you and call you His. Lord, help me. Let us start by checking the attitude of our heart. Is it a negative attitude? You know what? When you walk into a room, you come in, you bring something in. What is it? What presence are you bringing? Is it power of the resurrection? Or is it, crazy politics, crazy world, crazy job, the economy's hard, the president's horrible? We can disagree with that, but you can't always be letting that stuff come out of you. There's something. See, we can't live our life based on all the bad. There's no power in it. There's no power in that. But when you base your life on the resurrection power, stop believing all those lies of the devil. You know what? Jesus has us under the shadow of His wing. He loves us so, so much. So maybe it feels like, maybe the devil's saying, everybody's against me. Nobody likes me, which is lies. I guarantee you, all of you in here, somebody likes you a lot. Nobody respects me, and I'm just whatever. It's not the Lord. You're not hearing that from God. God wouldn't tell you if it was true. Because he's not that kind of a God. He's not a condemning God. He's not. The devil will tell you that the world's stacked against you. And maybe it is. But you've got more than the world. You've got Jesus Christ in his name.
Amen.
You've got the power of the resurrection. So if it's negative, if it's woe unto me, and everything in the world's going to hell and falling apart, you latch on to Jesus. Because there you're going to find power. You're going to maybe hear the negativity, but it's going to roll off of you like the water off of a dustbin. You know what? Like you said, Simon, it's nice to be like you. I love going into the store and having people give you a smile and like you. That's kind of what we like, you know? But the being like in and of itself isn't filled with your heart. You can see that over and over by celebrities and influencers. That, you know, nowadays influencers, it's a big deal. Like, you get a million followers and, you know, you put yourself out there, show a picture of yourself there, and they call them influencers. And, you know what, I wish to God that Jesus' people would be influencers. And there probably are some. I don't know how many followers Jesus' people have. But, you know, it's that alone does not fill the void of your heart. All the fun, all the influencing, all the prettiness, all the social, it just doesn't do anything in there. And so to have people that don't like me, have people that oppose me, probably always going to be that way. I don't know, better agree with Satan. Anyway, I'm just saying, even if that is the truth in your life today, right now, that does not have to ruin your day. It does not have to ruin your life. You have to be, as I have to be, as honest with God. And allow Jesus. There might be things in here that I need to repent of, and if so, let it be. But I know that none of us, I am not so important that I could imagine that you guys all sit around thinking about me every day and plotting against me. I'm just not that important. And I know you're not going to take your time to do that. So let's just get, it's not. And so let's not believe that. Satan wants us to believe that. You know what? Everybody's just around plotting against me and trying to make my world a miserable place. Get behind me, Satan. Everybody does not have power over me. Jesus has power in me, and I walk with him. So maybe I have a critical spirit. Maybe it's because deep and down I've got something going on in there I need to deal with. I've been there too. And if I allow God to deal with me, I can see the good in others. I remember a quote that Brother Perry made a long, long time ago, and I don't know if he remembers it, but I remember it. He said that when we see a brother, we shouldn't start thinking about the bad in them. We should think about the good points they have in life. Do you remember preaching that prayer?
Yes.
That's always stood out to me. When I see somebody, let me not think, and this takes sometimes the grace of God, let me not think about the bad in their life. Let me think about the strong points that they bring. Every single one of you people in here has strong points. That's amazing. But that's God. And we give him glory for that. So the bottom line is we have to stop agreeing with the enemy. And let's bring these things down. You know what he said? He said, first he promised in verse 16, he promised us Jesus, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Is there a refuge of lies that I have in my life? Then by the grace of God, I want it gone. I want that refuge of lies. I want it out of my life. I want it gone. I don't want that. I don't want that. You know what I mean by that refuge of lies? Put ourselves in a place where it's like, I've got to be there and believe these lies. I'm alive. Oh, I'm just going to, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but come on, no. Don't take refuge in those lies. Take refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and your covenant with death shall be dissolved, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. Don't make agreements with hell. It shall not stand. If you bring those things, those lies, those agreements, those things, and you allow the Lord God to break them off, this stuff cannot stand against you. Oh, I've seen God do so many wonderful things and different in you, and it's beautiful. He broke off hell out of your life. He took those things out. He put them away. And I'm telling you, I preached to you weeks ago about, you know, I believe that he can do, I believe that he will. And I'm telling you, I'm really working on, and one of these Sundays, I want to get asked to be anointed and pray for. I'm really working on not just believing that God can, but that he will completely heal me. I did a DNA test, they were encouraging of a doctor, and they said, you know, well, you've got the bad gene. You know, you got it from your dad. And you know what? I'm going to believe God that through your prayers and the power of the living Christ, that that gene can be cut off. They say, I've got my arteries already kind of swelling up in there. Hereditary problems. You know what? I'm going to believe God that he's going to heal them. I wish I could say it was really, really strong. Pray for me. Lord, help my unbelief and my weak faith. But you know what? The power is in Christ. The power is in Christ. It is there that I have put my faith. This week I was impacted, and I thought it was interesting. This morning in the conversation, Reagan shared a little bit about, how was it? You were sharing about the power of Christ, and I was impacted by this devotional book that Phil Wickham book that somebody gave us, and once in a while I pick it up. It's a daily devotional, and the title of one this week was, it says, we must pray as though we belong. That really impacted me. I started thinking about that. You know, do we really pray that way? Do we pray that we belong as a child of the living God? Is that how I pray? Or do I pray, oh. Another thing he said in that devotional was, well, many of us pray, when we end our prayer, we say, in the name of Jesus, amen. And he said, stop and think about that. And I did. I thought, he said, you say it. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Right? Isn't that powerful? In Jesus' name. I prayed that I don't know how many thousands of times. And it caused me to stop and think what I'm really saying. I am praying in the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus. It's not just in me praying loud enough or even having the words all right. I mean, he's not up there. Well, you kind of stumble over that. No, if the power is in that, we're praying in Jesus' name, amen. So let's pray in Jesus' name, and let's pray as though we belong. Especially when we believe Satan's lies that we can ride the fence. You know what? I think this is a lot of our struggle. We believe that the world, what they have, is so powerful, and we kind of sit on the fence. You know what? I think the fence is Satan's territory. Let's get off it. You know, one foot over here, one in the world, wow, I want to be a Christian. We need to get off the fence. Get all in with the Lord. Get out of that territory. We don't want a foot over there and a foot over here. We want to be all in. Off the fence and into him. You know, I think a lot of the problem, the weakness and the sickness in the church in America today, and maybe and more than America, is because we believe lies. We believe lies about ourselves. We believe lies about the Word. The Word doesn't say what it says. We make agreements with that. And you know what? Some of these things, we can only find freedom when we repent. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. God peradventure will give them repentance, the acknowledging of the truth." That line right there, God peradventure will give them repentance. May he grant every one of us repentance. For we have knowingly or unknowingly made an agreement with Satan to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Years and years ago, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago, Roman and Mary shared a writing with me. I was talking about this God, that for this person that had a deliverance ministry, And again, just to be real clear, don't get your hackles up. I'm not against deliverance ministry. But he found himself endlessly going back to the same people and casting out demons. All hours of the day. He'd run here, and a week or two later, and he'd listen to these people and say, well, you've got to somehow, you've got to know those demons. You've got to understand them. You've got to have all this, you've got to have all this down pat. You've got to get this just right, and then you can, you know, you can do it right. And anyway, for years, he kept running hither. He was a very popular man. Like, a lot of people called him all hours of the day. And so he started to pray. He said, God, what in the world is going on? Why do we cast out these demons, and yet they keep coming back to these people? And God gave him those verses right there. He said, sometimes you need to just tell people to repent. He said, they need to repent of their sin. You cast out that demon, and there's no repentance of whatever the world's their life. He says, it's going to come right back in. And that's why you keep going back to the same people over and over and over and over, because there's no repentance. Now, maybe you're sitting here today, and you've been in places where repentance is a bad word. And you're like, I just don't like that. Repentance means crying and saying you're wrong or whatever. Basically, what repentance is if you turn from that sin and you tell God you're sorry, you turn to God with your life. You just do a 180. You're like, all right, I'm sick of it. I've believed these lies, this stuff long enough. I'm going to turn away from that, and I'm going to turn, and I'm going to give it all to Him. And that's my wish in my heart, to be that God would grant you repentance and that you can recover yourself out of the snare of the devil, exactly like Paul wrote to Timothy there. So I'm going to pray, and I'll turn it over to Ben. Father God, you're so grateful to you through the Word. I'm thankful today that you have delivered us from so many lies of the devil. And maybe there's more. I pray that if I unknowingly or even knowingly have anything in my life that I have made an agreement with Satan, or relationships or addictions or anything like that, Father God, I pray, Lord, you would grant me repentance. You help me to turn from that fully to you, Lord. And I pray your blessing over everyone in this place. If Satan has created and hardened any heart and has caused any to believe lies, Lord, I pray the blessing of the Lord our God. I pray and I intercede for them. I pray, Lord, that you would grant true and beautiful repentance, that you would turn them from that lie, from that thing that they have that has been exalted by the devil. I pray against it in the name of Jesus. We pray the blood and healing over it. We pray that there would be no more agreement with that nasty spirit, but that the power of the living God would fully indwell it. Lord, please grant repentance today and grant freedom and recovery out of every snare, Lord. For the glory of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you.